Good day, patrons. I'd like you all to say hello to Sarah.
Hello.
And Justin.
Oh, hi, friends. It's me.
And Roger.
Salutations.
Well, thanks, everybody. We'll see you later.
And we're good. We're good.
Good day and good night.
Goodbye and good luck.
I don't want to jinx myself, and I've been knocking on wood all day.
Don't do it.
But after yesterday when I was like, I'm incapable of getting the flu. Today I'm like weirdly cold.
Mm-hmm.
I'm wearing like a big wool sweater.
Mm-hmm.
Not very cold outside.
Are you shivering? Were you shivering just at...
I'm not shivering. I'm just like... I'm cold.
Yeah. So I felt... I cranked up the heater till it was like 78. And I was still shivering under my covers. I was like, what's wrong with me?
Well, I mean, I've been drinking some Earl Grey tea and all the right stuff, but something's weird. I feel very cold.
So cold.
What if the vector wasn't CES at all?
I never get the flu. The flu is like, aha.
It's a California pizza kitchen attack. Or something, or somewhere where we all sat.
Yeah.
Well, I want to say I feel fine, but I'm afraid it will happen if I do. So.
No, I go the other way. I just loudly declare that I'm invulnerable.
And then, do you get sick or do you not get sick?
I don't.
Oh. Okay.
Every once in a while, I'll get a little sick, but in the meantime, I just like to just loudly dare the world to get me sick. This is also another thing that kind of dovetails poorly with my wife, because I also refuse to get the flu shot.
See, now that's just bad for humanity.
Yeah. How do you?
Because it's a herd immunity thing. The more people get the flu shot, the better it works for everybody.
Sure.
Yes, and I hear your yes and.
I mean, look, I don't. Every time I've gotten sick, and every time I don't get it, I don't get sick. And every time, like times like this, where literally everybody around me is dying, I'm fine.
And correlation is causation, after all.
I'm not saying that I am special, and I'm not saying that there is some villainous element that is getting everybody sick or anything. I'm not Alex Jones, but this is just the way it's gone. And I am, if it ain't broke, don't fix it.
Maybe that's what you need, Justin, your own brand of vitamins and supplements for good health.
So I just go right into that, Alex.
Vegan omega 3s.
Yeah, except instead of actual pills, you open it up and it's just a recording of Justin yelling, "He's invulnerable! Get away, Frank! He can't get sick!"
Yeah.
You'll have, like, instead of omega 3 or 6 or 9, it'll be like omega 21, where you're just cramming together different store.
Amplitude 6.
Yeah. Best health. It's just the best health, Bill.
It's like a full plus health.
All right. Anything else breaking? Whales and dolphins will no longer be displayed at the Vancouver Aquarium.
What?
Yes.
Wait, what's happening?
Vancouver Aquarium no longer going to show whales and dolphins.
That was mock outrage, but is it because they're
banning? They're going to stop mammal thing. The shows and stuff. The whole marine
it's a mammal thing. You wouldn't understand.
The fish, on the other hand, that's fine.
It's kind of like get to that point. Then
the focus will raise instead. The aquarium will focus on raising awareness of ocean issues impacting other marine animals. Ban the aquarium from bringing new cetaceans, deaths of a number of cetaceans at the aquarium since 2016. That's all it says. So it's the cessation of cetaceans at the Vancouver
Aquarium. Do we want to add SoftBank's Uber investment closing?
Maybe we do. Do we? You tell me, Sarah Lane.
Hold on.
I am of no mind on that. I have no objection to that.
Let me look.
Yeah.
I mean, that's kind of the story that it closed.
I mean, that's a quick hit, though, right?
Yeah.
Your call.
What do we got in here? Apple. Maybe we replace the other Apple story.
Which one do you consider the other?
The fix coming for the malicious link, mine.
What if we collapse those two? We could probably do that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Okay.
You want to write the SoftBank thing? I'll collapse.
Okay.
That one into juries.
Okay.
Apple told Microsoft the fix is coming next week. I'm going to get rid of that explanatory line. Apple CEO Tim. Jerry, read line 14 and tell me if that. Just make sure there's nothing.
Apple told Mac rumors that a fix is coming next week for a malicious link that can freeze your iOS messages app. Apple CEO Tim Cook also told ABC News that Apple will soon give you a notification when your phone's battery gets to the point that Apple feels slowing performance will prevent unwanted reboots, and add the option to turn that feature off. Oh, wow. When did that new logo come around?
This week. We just started, we announced it on what, Tuesday, right?
Yeah.
Awesome. Where'd you guys get it done?
The Polar Cat, Mustafa.
Nice.
Actually, credit to Roger for working with him to incubate it. Incubate? I don't know. Whatever.
Tell you what.
They worked it out.
I've been working a lot on Upwork.
Uh-huh.
Crazy what you can get done on there.
Oh, yeah?
Speed and cost efficiency.
Nice. So for some reason, today's show did not show up on the scheduled... on the DTNS channel, only on the subscription page. And I don't know if that's because we changed the logo midstream or what, but let's keep an eye on that.
Do I need to?
I don't know what you could do about it. I don't imagine you did anything different than usual. So let's just see if it happens again tomorrow.
And if okay.
Usually, and I know this because I do the Twitch simulcast off of it. Usually I can just go to youtube.com/dailytechnewsshow, and once you've scheduled it, it shows up at the top, like coming soon. Today it didn't, and I don't know why.
Huh.
So, I mean, if you can think about it, if you're like, oh, wait, I did this different, then sure, but I doubt that.
Maybe I didn't do anything. I mean, I turned off chat like I normally do.
Yeah, that wouldn't be it. It might be because I changed the logo. Maybe that just affected something somewhere. So,
let's see,
we'll worry about it tomorrow. If it doesn't happen again tomorrow, then it was that, and we'll just chalk it up to a weird thing.
No, something weird happened. The start time got shifted to 1:10 instead of 1:30 that I set it at.
Oh, weird. Oh, maybe that's because we're past 1:10 that it's not showing up.
Yeah,
although I was looking. No, I was looking at it before 1:10, and it wasn't there.
Yeah, but for some reason now it says 1:10.
Yeah,
well, you're like, I went into the edit.
Don't worry about that. That's not a big deal.
Mm, okay.
But yeah,
okay, that's the only thing I noticed.
Yeah, that is weird. Something got wonky.
And because you don't even.
Yeah, something's weird. It also says on the events page in the Creator Studio, it says starts January instead of the date. So I think just something, probably just a passing glitch.
To me, it all just sounds like the department store playing loud music to rush people out. All right.
Oh, and don't let me forget to turn off the Twitch simulcast. Because yesterday I forgot. And YouTube kept autoplaying. YouTube kept autoplaying. And by the time I found it, it was an Arabic children's video teaching you the alphabet. And now
really bad though.
My personal, no, it wasn't awful. I'm like, okay, this is just weird. And my personal channel now is filled with recommendations for Arabic children's videos because it thinks like, oh, you loved those. We kept playing them and you didn't stop. So,
oh, that's funny. Have you guys seen Molly's Game? Watched that last night.
No, Eileen has seen it, but I have not.
Pretty good.
She liked it.
Good. I mean, if you like movies about poker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gambling.
I like movies with Jessica Chastain. Is she in it?
She's in it.
Perfect.
She's in it a lot. She's all in it. No, it was good. It was good. I liked it.
The directorial debut of Aaron Sorkin, right?
Oh, right. He directed, not
there
just
wrote.
There
was a lot of dialogue, Sorkin-style dialogue.
One would
I'll just leave
assume.
It at that.
Yeah. Well, yeah, he's like, finally, all these other directors are mangling my walk and talk. So I can do it correctly.
Oh, jeez.
I feel like he's abandoned the walk. Now it's just talk.
No, yeah. Well, he's gonna work up to the walk and talk. You know, his second movie he'll direct, he'll feel good enough to walk.
Let's
and
do
talk.
Some walking. You guys want to do some walking? All right,
yes.
Roger, let fly the stream.
Streaming.
Streaming.
All right.
Oh, hello, everybody.
Hello.
Let me tell you what. I waited until we were on the live stream to embarrass Justin Robert Young. Justin Robert Young, politics, politics, politics is my favorite way to keep up with what's going on. Where I can just hear it from someone who gives it an entertaining spin, tells me what I need to know, and then I don't feel bad about the world.
Can I float some? We've been trying to come up with some one-liners to describe the show.
Yeah.
So here's just a couple. You guys let me know which ones you like. Make politics tolerable again.
Okay. Yeah.
Not your racist uncle's politics podcast.
Okay. Yeah.
This one, I don't know if this is a, we have a little bit of a difference on language between the two shows, but, I'm just here for the poop show.
With the S word instead. Yeah,
exactly. Okay. The smartest dumb show about politics.
Ooh, that's good. Okay.
Or, scandal, sedition, statistics.
Smartest dumb show about politics is good. And what was the second one you said?
Not your racist uncle's politics podcast.
That one's a little edgier, but I like that one too.
Isn't there something you could do off the like triple P theme?
Well, yeah. Sarah, some shows talk about politics. Other shows talk about politics. Some other shows even talk about politics, but only one show talks about all three.
That's my point.
Yeah, no, that's the tagline to the show. That's the way we end the show. I like to talk about we as if other people do the show. It's literally just me braying like a mule.
The other thing I like is your opening tags. I may start taking some tips from that.
The pre.
Yeah, yeah. The promos for your newsletter and all that.
Yeah. You know, I was good for a little bit about recording them. But then I stopped being good about it. Although I'm going to have to record another one because I always forget things. I'm not really good at advertising my own stuff. And I need to remember that I do have a show coming up on March 1st. in San Francisco. So I got to make sure that I get all those details right so people know where to go.
Justin, when you were in Japan, you were in the Nagano region, correct?
I was, yes.
I went and saw monkeys and, you know, snowing and cold and everything. I've actually been there. I liked it a lot. I thought it was like one of my favorite parts of Japan.
I love, aside from the fact that walking up to go see the snow monkeys, I busted my butt five times. I slipped and fell on the ice like five times. Pro tip, if you're not used to walking on ice, like many of our northern friends are, even though I went to school in Syracuse for a couple years, I've spent the vast majority of my life in Texas, California, and Florida, not known for their sheets of ice. they do sell little cleat things that you can attach onto your shoes that make it easier to walk. But other than that, I thought it was great. We had an amazing time up there. We stayed at the onsen.
Vast majority of my life,
more traditional Japanese.
Hey Roger, sorry to interrupt. You don't have me selected or something, do you?
Oh, I do. I do have selected. Sorry,
because Justin was talking, and on the live stream was just me looking at myself.
I thought it was. I thought it was fantastic. And the snow monkey thing was. Amazing. Like, I was not prepared for how perfect
cool that actually is. Yeah.
Yeah.
I totally get it. Yeah, that sounds so fun. Jealous.
When did you go out there?
2012? It's been a while.
Yeah. All right.
It's 1:30.
Really fun, though. Okay. All right.
Everybody ready?
Let's go.
Ready.
Let's do this. 3, 2.
What's that? You want to give back some value for the value you get on a Daily Tech News Show? No problem. Just head to dailytechnewsshow.com/support to find out how.
This is the Daily Tech News for Thursday, January 18th, 2018, from DTNS headquarters in Los Angeles. I'm Tom Merritt.
And from Studio Feline, I am Sarah Lane.
And from Oakland, California, I'm Justin Robert Young.
Also in the house is our producer, Roger Chang. Roger, did you know that we don't have onesies in our DTNS store, but we might soon? You could buy one
for
Ellie.
That would be awesome. I might be able to take advantage of it.
Rich Straffolino said...
Me personally, not my daughter.
Not your daughter. You want it full size. Dave Michael said he might not be able to get adult size, but kid size could be coming. Oh. And they would say born ready. Get it? Because kid.
Right?
All right. Let's start with a few tech things you should know then.
Uber's $8.8 billion deal with SoftBank has closed, meaning that SoftBank is now Uber's biggest shareholder. Rajiv Misra, who's a board director of SoftBank and now also on the Uber board, told the Financial Times that Uber would have a faster path to profitability if it returned to its core markets in the U.S., Europe, Latin America, and Australia.
Mm-hmm.
Certainly seems to dovetail with them kind of pulling out of Asia. Apple told Mac Rumors that a fix is coming next week for the malicious link that can freeze the iOS Messages app. Apple CEO Tim Cook also told ABC News that Apple will soon give users a notification when a phone's battery gets to the point that Apple feels slowing down performance will prevent unwanted reboots. It will then allow users to turn off that feature if they like to live dangerously.
Mm-hmm. Just give us the choice, though. Just give us the choice. Let us make the mistake. Intel says in the course of investigating problems with Spectre meltdown patches that were causing reboots in its older Broadwell and Haswell chips, it sort of discovered that it can cause reboots in the newer Skylake and Kaby Lake chips as well. So they're working on that. Engadget says Intel VP Navin Shenoy claims they are very close to identifying the root issue, and they expect to have beta microcode to vendors for validation by next week.
Microsoft is promoting Minecraft head Matt Booty, spelled like it sounds, to head of Microsoft Studios, where he will oversee all games. Booty will report to Phil Spencer, who is head of Microsoft's gaming division.
Everybody's getting boosted up. Phil Spencer just got boosted up. Now, let's get into some more top stories. And Jury, Nintendo's selling us cardboard.
They sure are. Nintendo announced a new product called Labo, which allows users to assemble pre-made cardboard attachments for the Nintendo Switch that can then be made or be used to create remote-controlled robots, a small piano, and more. Starting April 20th, blaze it. You'll be able to buy two Labo kits. The $70 variety kit contains an RC car, a fishing rod, a house, a motorbike, and a piano. And an $80 robot kit lets you build an interactive robot suit with a visor, backpack, and straps for your head and feet, which lets you control an in-game robot.
Okay, so I did not catch the connection between crawling around on the floor with cardboard and toys and putting this thing out on 420. Thank you for bringing that to my attention.
And also, it's listed as $70 here, but on the website, it is $69.99. Nice.
Very good. Very good.
What is the significance of Labo?
You mean the name?
Yeah.
You know, what is the significance of Nintendo names? The Wii? I guess the Switch is because you can switch it up from being on the TV and back. That one makes sense. Is it just like laboratory? Like short for that?
In
the lab, you create things. This is a maker toy. And the first thing that I looked at when I saw this is for parents who don't necessarily want to buy very expensive peripsiles for a thing like the Switch, but also are kind of worried that their kids are a little too screen time focused. This is a huge thing with parents these days, and this gives them a little bit of a middle wiggle room. Who knows if it'll work, but the idea that there's a tactile element, there's a creative element, now all of a sudden something that is very plain can become very complicated, and then added on by way of the Switch, really using the Switch as an accessory to a different maker toy, is a fascinating idea. Who knows if it'll be successful, but I think it's definitely Nintendo at its most bold.
Let me interject. As a parent, this actually looks incredibly like compelling because it takes advantage of existing hardware you have, but it implements it in a way that you're right. I'm not now worried about my kid looking just at a screen in order to manipulate the product. Right now it's something that they can touch real life, right? Not no glasses, no nothing. It's an actual real world physical toy that they can deal with, but they can, you know, through their own, you know, efforts, manipulate it and alter and, you know, play with it. And it's kind of cool because typically you would need to buy a separate toy or kit or some sort of, you know, Lego Mindstorm or something to do something equivalent. I think this thing is great.
Well, and if you haven't seen the video yet and you're not quite understanding what we're talking about, you kind of have to look at it because I think the one that really got through to me was the piano. So you've got a flat piece of cardboard. You unfold it until it becomes a piano. Then you put the Switch in at sort of the top so that the keys can be read by it. You put the microcontrollers instead of on the sides. They go instead of on the sides of the actual Switch console, they go in the sides of the piano, and then the movement is read. It's the accelerometer that's going, but it knows what the position is. So when you press the keys, it's like they're playing a piano. It's almost magical. If you're not thinking about it too hard. And then there's, you know, the fishing reel allows you to see fish on the screen and pull it up, et cetera, et cetera.
Here's the biggest thing. At sub $100, Nintendo, I mean, A, it's cardboard that they're running out in sheets and poking pre-tear holes in. It's not going to cost them a lot of money. And at sub $100, I think that they're hoping this is a no-brainer a purchase for any kid with the Switch. Specifically, if it becomes popular, it's going to be, well, of course, it's under $100. The kid will love it. You can get a bunch of uses out of it. I don't know. There's something about it that says to me, like, this could be a gigantic hit.
I mean,
I definitely see a lot of copycat products in the future for phones, for tablets, something. Where you don't necessarily...
Well, this is a bit of a copycat of the Google Cardboard, right? It's doing a whole lot more with it. Google Cardboard did. But I mean, that was kind of the idea of, like, we won't do high quality materials, but we'll take advantage of form factor. And that's what Nintendo's playing on.
Well, Roger, before we move on, since you got the little kid in the group, I mean, what of this do you think that would be the most valuable, I guess, to, you know, little kid?
I think the most valuable aspect is that they can play with it, but they're not playing with a controller. I mean, it really depends on the kid, right? Like, my daughter's at the stage where she has a bunch of big Lego blocks and all she does is throw them at my head. But there will be a point in time where she start to assemble them like she does with her dolls. She'll put them in a row or she'll put them to bed. Things that you do when you interact with an environment and you understand one causality, right? I do one thing and it affects something else. And I think that's very important. And really, this is in many ways kind of a 21st century adaptation of the whole Radio Shack radio kit you used to get for a kid, right? You spend $50 and, you know, a kid could take wires and plug them into this giant cardboard box with electrical leads. And they could build like a simple radio or a simple, you know, a metal detector or something like that. You know, the 101 science projects kits that they used to sell.
Yeah. And it's $60 is the price of a video game that gives you the video game. This is multiple pieces of software for a little bit more, $70 or $80. And you get accessories and you get tactile objects like you're saying, Roger, that they can physically interact with. And that are softer when they throw them at you.
Yeah. Two things also for people that are not kids. One of the most popular SNES peripherals was the light gun. That it's been a huge part of Nintendo stuff. It seems that there's going to be some element of that in the Labo, as well as the bass fishing rod. And speaking of the Google Cardboard, that robot game is you looking through a Google Cardboard device and then using a backpack to kind of mimic your movement. So
I mean, it's essentially VR, that robot one. Yeah,
it is. Yeah.
All right. On from fun toys to falling prices. The value of Bitcoin has dropped to 50% of its 2017 peak. It's below $10,000. Other cryptocurrencies have also seen dives in their value. Tuesday, crypto exchange BitConnect shut down amid accusations of running a Ponzi scheme with their own BCC currency. And there are other things undermining confidence in Bitcoin as well. Governments have been taking more adversarial stances against cryptocurrencies. The Verge's Simon Chandler noted the U.S. SEC pressed charges against Plexcore over an ICO. Then a week later, the SEC chairman Clayton issued a warning on cryptocurrencies, saying you should beware. We're not sure these are safe. China has cracked down further on cryptocurrency trading, and South Korea has been indicating its government may restrict or even outright ban cryptocurrency trading. Seems like Japan is really the only friendly country out there for cryptocurrencies right now.
You know, hey, look, the days of milk and honey couldn't last forever, at least in this current run. A lot of cryptocurrency true believers will tell you that this is a buying opportunity, possibly one that we will not see again if it's sub $10,000. But obviously just growing pains for what is still at its heart an intensely controversial idea. Money without government will always be something that governments take a skeptical look at.
You know, there are a lot of people, certainly people in the tech industry and people that I know who have lost quite a bit of money over the last week. And, you know, it's not a good thing necessarily, but I feel like we're finally getting to the point with cryptocurrency where we're understanding more about it because the hysteria has taken a dip. You know, it's at a point where people are like, okay, party's over. What's really going on here? And like, how can this actually be incorporated into, you know, yes, governments and financial institutions and that sort of thing?
I mean,
not happy that people lost a lot of money, but it was bound to happen.
Yeah,
and exactly. Like, if you did not profit take at the point that it was doing what it was doing at the end of last year and validating all of Tom's predictions, then welcome to investment, right? Like that's the idea. When it is overperforming at that level of volatility, take a little out, you know, treat yourself. You don't need to.
this is what volatility looks like, right? And Bitcoin has died a million deaths. This is not the first time it's crashed. The question people are saying now is, ooh, with governments starting to take note and start to talk against it, will this be the time it can't recover? And who knows? Nobody knows until it either doesn't recover and goes away, or recovers and either, you know, bounces back or surpasses its previous highs or doesn't. We don't know what level it's going to reach. And it's so volatile because it is unregulated. So there's the one argument that, hey, it's a free and open exchange. It's going to take a while for enough people to use it and enough bad things to happen that the market sort of settles it into a stable pattern. Or it's going to have government regulation to stabilize, or it's just going to fall apart and it won't be a thing. Those are kind of the three main possibilities. And if anyone tells you they know which one is going to bear out, they're lying. Nobody knows.
Yeah, I mean, the, you know, make a quick buck off crypto sounds great. But, you know, on the flip side, it's like there are folks that I know saying, well, I have all this, you know, XRP, let's just say, and I want to, you know, convert it into cash dollars. And it's like, it has to go through some wallet where it sits there for 10 days or something like that. Oh, yeah. And during that time, it might lose all of its value. So it's like, you know, there's something to be said about financial institutions that are regulated and, you know, that's not what happens to you.
Well, and maybe it won't need a financial institution, right? I still believe it's possible that if you let it go for 10 years, eventually after enough swings, like a stable market could coalesce around it without intervention, maybe, but also maybe not. And this is a grand experiment here, and it's interesting to watch.
Well, speaking of experiments, Spotify announced something called Spotlight, which will now include something called visual podcasts about news, politics, and entertainment, available in playlist form and featuring text, video, and photos. So, for example, if you're listening to a visual podcast, you might be listening to the audio version, but get a video pop-up to go alongside it. Partners at launch include BuzzFeed News, Cheddar, Gimlet Media, and Genius. And Spotify also has its own original content, such as Spotify Singles and Viva Latino. Not familiar with either of those, but they sound interesting. Spotlight is US only for now, but looks to expand soon.
I thought the Bloomberg article, or maybe it was the TechCrunch article, I can't remember, took the positive spin of saying, hey, you know, podcasting can benefit from more people encouraging its growth. And I don't disagree with that. On the other hand, when your main value is music and you've got a walled garden, you limit the appeal because at least, and maybe I'm just saying this because I'm not part of a network and I'm an independent, but, you know, it when people ask for versions of Daily Tech headlines or Daily Tech news show in certain places, I have to say, well, they've got a wall up sometimes. They won't let us in, and Spotify is one of them.
Ah, the grand chase. How do we make, how do we take the next step in podcasting? And we have long kind of lamented the fact that podcasting is A, hard to, it's annoying to start one. It's annoying for people to find them. It's hard for people to understand them.
Some people say it's annoying to listen to them.
Many people, yeah, think it's annoying to listen to them. And look, there's no set UI for how we enjoy them. That's still even very, very varied among the most popular players. The vast majority of podcasts are downloaded through Apple. And then when Apple made Apple Music, they decided to not make it a part of it. So it's like there's a million different reasons why podcasting is in the situation that it's in and is successful almost in spite of itself. Who knows? Spotify has taken it more seriously. They've put a time and effort into promoting it. I don't know if visual podcasts are anything more than all the usual suspects getting paid by a company so they can produce content that will probably not survive once they stop getting paid for it. But who knows? You know, this
well, but it's like, okay, think of DTNS, right? It's like, sure, for many people, this is an audio podcast, but we offer video because we know that that's valuable to at least a certain amount of people. So, you know, when you think of it on that sense, it's like Spotify offering this is kind of an extension of what we're all familiar with,
well,
as podcast producers.
But also Spotify
sometimes like to watch.
Spotify wants you to
don't
do
it. Have to, but if you want to, that's great. So on, you know, in that sense, I applaud this. But yeah, you know, I'm not totally sure how many people will take advantage.
Well, Spotify wants you to do a lot more work, though. This is not just upload a video podcast. First of all, you have to get into their system somehow. You have to be approved by them.
You have to be approved, yeah.
Yeah, it's not like iTunes where you just have to submit. No, Spotify has to bless you. And once you're in, okay, for this, they want you to create chapters and add things and do work, which I'm not saying is a bad thing, but it's extra above and beyond just streaming the video.
Yeah,
so.
And right now, they are paying people to do the work. We will see whether or not they will want to do the work if they see the benefit once that contract.
Well, but also, you know, again, to go back to, you know, what the rest of us are doing, I think that if we knew that that work would be well spent and valuable to the audience, we would do it.
Yeah.
We just don't know that yet because it's still a young medium.
But you could do the, up till now, there are some podcasts that will go to the trouble to do this because they think it's worth it, but most have not found it to be so.
True.
We shall see. Here's something that you won't see on YouTube anymore if they have their way. YouTube announced that they will be removing videos and punishing creators who take part in the Tide Pod Challenge. If you are unaware of what the Tide Pod Challenge is, it dares you to eat a pod of concentrated Tide detergent.
Which you should not do.
Which is very bad and has led to a spike in calls to the American Association of Poison Control Centers since it became trendy earlier this year. Really, 2018, riding into our lives on a horse called the Tide Pod Challenge. YouTube will issue anyone who posts a Tide Pod Challenge video one strike going forward if it is flagged by the community.
Do we know if Tide itself has been like, don't do this?
Yeah, no, there's a video on the story of from Tide saying Tide Pods are for doing laundry. Right. That's it.
That's it. Nothing else. They even employed New England Patriots tight end Rob Gronkowski to illustrate that message for the young viewers. Look, it's a horrifying idea. It's really stupid, even as far as YouTube challenges go. This is dangerous. You almost don't even want to joke about it because there is really nothing funny with putting poison in your body for views.
You know,
if you want to get into their new partner program, you need watch time, and that's not really going to take all that long. And you might die and not be able to make the 400,000 hours of watch time that you need.
Yeah, there's another article kicking around today about I'm hearing an echo on me. There, it's gone now. All right. There's another article kicking around today about burnout in pursuit of views that several YouTube creators have been talking about. And I wonder if this is like a side symptom of it where somebody's like, hey, I've got a funny idea. There's all these crazy YouTube challenges over the year. What if we do like eat a Tide Pod? Nobody will do that. And people are like, oh my gosh, I will do whatever for views. Like, sure. Is that a symptom of that?
Well, and you know, I'm trying to think of something like as disgusting as this, can't come up with one, but Icing Bros does come to mind, which is, you know, it's 5 years old now, but it was the idea where it's like, if you present this bad liquor in front of somebody, they have to drink it on the spot. And if they don't, then, you know, I don't know, it'll be a laughingstock or whatever, you know? So it's like, yeah, I get that on the surface, these sorts of things are fun and everything, but I mean, why not just, you know, ingest battery acid? Like, you're going to kill yourself.
Yeah. Also, I'm allergic to Tide. Google's Project Fi mobile service will now cap its data bills at $60. So you still pay $20 a month for the service. But the way Google Fi has worked up until now is you pay $10 per gigabyte per month, no matter how many gigabytes you use. And you would get refund for any unused data at the end of the month. So if you didn't use the full gigabyte and you'd paid the $10, you get a refund for that. Well, Google's going to change it. First of all, they're going to start charging you at the end of the month for what you used, not making you pay at the beginning of the month and then refund you. And as soon as you hit 6 gigabytes, that's it. They're not going to charge you $10 for 7 or 8 or 9. In fact, you can go all the way to 15 gigabytes before they'll even do anything like throttle your speed. If you hit 15 gigabytes in a month and you start to slow down, you can choose to pay to unlock your and get your normal speed back if you want.
This is great. And everybody I know that's on Project Fi really loves it. I think that this is a Google kind of at their best, offering a consumer-friendly alternative in a traditionally consumer-unfriendly field. It feels kind of a downright Google Fiber-ish.
I mean, I'm on an unlimited, which is, you know, not really unlimited, but unlimited grandfather plan with Verizon, which has been hiked up in price quite a bit over the last couple of years. For a while, it was, you know, holding strong at about $80 a month, and I really thought I was getting away with murder. It's a lot more than that now. But something like, hey, you know, considering what I actually am using per month, to cap it at 60 with another $10 if I need a little bit more at the same speed sounds really good. Yeah. I mean, that's a better deal than I had in the first place.
It may not be the cheapest unlimited, but it's the most flexible and it's super appealing. The only problem with it is Project Fi, you really need to be using a Pixel phone or, you know, there's a limited number of phones that it works with. You can put the SIM card in any phone, but then it will only use the T-Mobile network. And the way it works best is when it's combining T-Mobile, Sprint, and Wi-Fi all together.
Yeah, no, 60 gigs is great. This is the email or the text message I get from AT&T every month. Your data use has reached, in this case, the most recent 16.5 gigs. If you exceed 22 gigs before your next cycle, you can still use unlimited data. However, you will have reduced speed. So three times as much as what AT&T futilely asks me to stop using data at, for which I laugh in their face.
Amazon announced the top 20 cities under consideration for its second North American headquarters. I won't name them all, but cities include Los Angeles, Miami, New York City, Pittsburgh, Toronto, Ontario, and Washington, D.C. So the company will now start working directly with those cities on their proposals to figure out which ones make the cut. Amazon expects to make its decision by the end of the year and invest $5 billion in the new headquarters with up to 50,000 high-paying jobs added.
Yeah, interesting to know, Toronto, the only non-U.S. city. They took applications from Mexico, Canada, and the U.S., and the rest of these are kind of a list of the biggest metro regions, right? Like Northern Virginia and Montgomery County are both around Washington, D.C., which also got in there on its own.
Yeah. Oh, so that's the biggest thing that stood out to me is, yeah, Montgomery County, Northern Virginia, and Washington, D.C., which is basically them playing all those state governments and city government of D.C. against each other to say, well, we could come to this region and it's going to deal with people from your area. Do you want to give us the tax breaks or do you want to see that go to your neighbor? Should we choose you? The other big things that popped out to me are just that, yeah, this is a lot of the biggest metro areas in general. Dallas, I still think, is probably one of the most popular ones, considering if you look at the most populated cities, both Dallas and Fort Worth are in the top 20. That is a very, very big populist area.
Yeah. I would put my money on Boston looking at this list.
You know, East Coast would make sense because you would think if you're going to build another headquarters, you don't want to necessarily do it on the exact same coast. And the other element of D.C. is that it's a lot of where internet backbone is. So, mm-hmm. You know, if there is some.
Also, I want to know, 50,000 high paying jobs sounds great. What's that mean?
Up to 50,000 and high paying according to whom? There are questions.
High paying as compared to.
These would be tech jobs in the way that, you know, they're high paying in the way that
In
Austin and San Francisco and Portland and Seattle understand.
That's a fair point. Amazon's not building a warehouse, right? Those jobs tend to be lower paying. Those are the jobs that are controversial a lot of the time. Hey, folks, if you want to get all the tech headlines each day in about 5 minutes or less, be sure to subscribe to Daily Tech Headlines. You can get it on the Amazon Echo, on the Google Home, and on the Anchor app, as well as an RSS podcast available anywhere that respects the openness of RSS. And you can find that link at dailytechheadlines.com. Hey, is that a mailbag you have there, sir?
Actually, it is. So we were talking yesterday. We had somebody write in about the fact that he was having trouble getting Daily Tech headlines to play on his Google Home. And so we were like, okay, well, what has to happen behind the scenes on our end? Andrew wrote in saying, adding the word podcast at the end of my request actually worked, which is what I had suggested because I was doing the same thing with my Sonos One when I wanted to listen to headlines. Andrew says, it's still kind of weird, though, because if I want to listen to the regular DTNS show, I don't need to use the word podcast. I guess I need to apologize to Google Assistant for the previous profanity-laden attempts. More importantly, after the show today, did a little digging into my Google Home settings. There is a new feature, at least not one that I noticed before, that allows you to pick news briefings from various reports. DTH, Daily Tech Headlines, is listed under English US, but not under English AU, meaning Australia.
All right. I'll take a look and see if there's anything we can do about that in our settings to make it easier, but good to know. And
settings with your big...
Not a perfect science. AI.
Good problem solving there, Sarah.
Thank you. Speaking of problem solvers, Justin Robert Young is with us every Thursday. Justin, we missed you while you were in Japan. Sounds like you had a good time. And let folks know what you're up to. I don't know, since we saw you last.
Oh, well, you want to know what, folks? You can go ahead and listen to my politics podcast at politicspoliticspolitics.com and as well as anywhere that you get a podcast. Just go ahead and type in politics, politics, politics. You're gonna see a big cockatiel in a suit. Although that won't be there forever. We're changing the art. Also, if you are in the Bay Area, March 1st at the Piano Fight Theater, 7:30, there is going to be a live show featuring me, a politics, politics, politics live show. We are going to do something that has never been done. We'll do it live right there in the theater. The 2018 Sex Scandals Bracket. So like a certain kind of madness that happens during March.
Sure.
Legally say because of copyright.
Sure.
We will have all the famous federal sex scandals separated into various different divisions. It's going to be an absolute blast.
Now, are these historical or just this year? Because you could do it either way, I think.
Oh, no, no, no. There is one. There is a president, a revered president that is entangled in one of the wildest sex scandals I had ever heard. I did not know it, and I am a freak about this kind of stuff. It will be discussed at length during that show. I guarantee you that the vast majority of the crowd will have no idea that a revered president was wrapped up in something so scandalous.
Miller Fillmore?
I think I know who you're talking about.
Do you?
Yeah.
I think. I don't know. We haven't talked about it before, but I think I do.
Tell you what, right.
If I had a 2018 prediction, I would, but I'm not going to ruin it for you.
Piano Fight. Piano Fight is where, just go ahead and Google that. It is in San Francisco, and it is on March 1st, a Thursday. So a little Thursday afternoon. If you're in the surrounding area, you have plenty of time to get into the city to come see the show.
St. David's Day, in case that helps you remember. Hey, thanks everybody who participates in our subreddit. You can submit stories to vote on them at dailytechnewsshow.reddit.com. Our Facebook group is popping at facebook.com/group/dailytechnewsshow. And our Patreon is climbing. Keep it up, folks. We want to see just how many more patrons we can get over last year. We need your help to do it. If you are already a patron, convince someone who isn't. And if you're not, give us a buck. It's a buck. 5 cents a day at patreon.com/DTNS.
If you have questions, comments, feedback, anything, we'd love to hear it. Feedback@dailytechnewsshow.com is our email address. We are live Monday through Friday at 4:30 p.m. Eastern, 21:30 UTC at elfgeekradio.com and diamondclub.tv. And to catch up on everything, we're up to dailytechnewsshow.com.
We'll be back tomorrow with Rob DeMillo and Len Peralta. Talk to you then.
This show is part of the Frog Pants Network. Get more at frogpants.com.
Diamond Club hopes you have enjoyed this program.
So not Kennedy, not Clinton.
No, no.
Is it a recent post-war World War II president?
I will tell you that he was the president during the 20th century.
Oh.
So I'm not wrong yet.
Okay. All right. Yet. So you're not wrong yet. It's not. So 20th century. 20th century. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
So yeah. Yeah. The night.
Not Millard Fillmore.
The 1900s. No. Beloved.
Oh no! Oh. Not
so. Not Nixon. Got it.
All right. Not Nixon.
Did we all like them on their election buttons?
I mean, it's not Dwight Eisenhower. Okay. No.
All right. Well, first of all, Sarah, I know you have the link. Oh, you've got the link. The links are in there. Never mind. Never mind.
What do you need?
For the SoftBank thing. We didn't have a link in the show notes. But now there are like 100 links in there.
Oh, sorry. I thought I put it in there.
No, it's all right. There's like a bunch of links in there now. I'm going to pick one. There we go.
Well, the one right. that I pulled from was... Yeah.
That works too.
The Financial Times.
Cool. And Roger, what are we calling this show?
Now you're playing with power, cardboard power.
I get it.
Nintendo powered cardboard, almost magical cardboard. Blessed by Spotify, arts, crafts, Nintendo, Bitcoin a bit down. Spotify builds a wall, makes podcasters pay for it.
That's funny.
What's let's see, pop up tech. Get it. Crypto crashes. No UI for podcasts. YouTube turns the tide on tide. $70 cardboard.
What is going on Forbes?
Microsoft's booty.
Microsoft's booty. It's
legitimately the man's name. Let's, you know. What do you guys like? What do y'all like?
I liked your playing with power, cardboard power. Pretty good.
Roll Tide.
Roll Tide, roll. Why don't you fold your laundry?
Don't encourage the kids.
No.
We'll make it incredibly eye-catching and appealing so kids, people think it's like fun.
I kind of like now you're playing with power, cardboard power, or yeah, Nintendo card.
Yeah. I also, you know, as a runner up, I like throwing Legos at Daddy's head.
That's pretty dope.
Not just Legos; it's a lot of things.
Sure.
She's got she's got a real arm on her.
Have you put the radar
more so
gun?
More so than I would have imagined at this age.
She got that 110 mile an hour fastball yet?
You know, see, I'm like, I never grew up playing catch or baseball, so it's like to me, like I don't have that reference.
Yeah.
Okay, but you know what I mean.
Much on the heat.
Oh, no, I know what you mean.
This is the thing, Roger. I'm not expecting you to go, oh, you mean Michael Kopech. I'm expecting you to go like, no, she's not throwing that fast yet.
No, Tom, I don't think she'll ever throw that fast.
Oh, that's why. Ew.
Your athletic references.
You and your athletic. They're not references to the Oakland A's, particularly.
If she does any activities, I want something indoors. I don't want to sit outside when it rains or something.
Well, what about swimming? Usually, often done indoors, but athletic.
Yeah. It'd be volleyball. Like, just to, you're protected from the elements when I'm waiting to, you know, you got to pick them up.
Yeah. You're like, no baseball, no soccer.
Nothing that's sitting in the sun, sucking on a water bottle.
Basketball's good. That's indoors.
Yeah, basketball's good.
Band.
I don't know if people do ultimate frisbee indoors.
What about coding? What about labo competitions? Those are going to happen.
I could totally see it.
Yeah, I could too.
I mean, that's the other thing about Labo is, man, they can rapid prototype, right? Like as fast as they can come up with it and run it off, get it to market.
And they can say it's a green product. So what do you do when it breaks? Well, you just turn it into compost.
Yeah. Yeah, that was the first thing. The first thing that, like, when I saw it, I'm like, oh man, this is like Nintendo's play at like Goldilocks or something like that. Like the feel good way that you can buy your kid a Nintendo peripsile.
Yeah.
Well, it's, you know, it's one of the few electronic toys that's still a toy, not like a, you know, an education system or something where, you know, you got to buy all this.
Or it's not an ecosystem, what you're saying. Yeah. Although it could become one pretty quickly.
Also, it's the first time that those slide out controllers seemed like anything other than really dumb gimmicks to me.
Because no, I know, right? It's like, yeah, it's actually pretty smart.
Is it before? It's like, oh no, you should play Mario with the crazy controllers and shake to do some really simple thing that you can do with a button.
You know, I'll tell you, if this works out for them, they're going to come out with a board game, like where they'll have like a giant, you know, board game, and then the Switch interface becomes like the game mat. Game Master. There was a game a long time ago for Milton Bradley called the Dark Tower. It was kind of like a Dungeons and Dragons style board game. And you had a big electronic obelisk tower in the middle, and that would tell you what happened to your character. Instead of rolling die or dice, you would press a button. It would tell you what would happen, and you would move your characters along the board. That would be pretty cool. And then they can integrate the AR.
Look, I think it's really kind of outside the box thinking for them to create something where their main system is an accent and not the center of it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. No, I know it's. I just saw it. This is the first I heard of it. It was this morning, and I was like, "Holy crap! This is the most brilliant thing they've done."
Yeah, and also it's Nintendo at their best, doing something that.
Yeah.
Hey, Xbox and PlayStation. You can't do this. You're a gigantic block of circuits, you big old bag of bolts.
What about price, though? Like, you have to buy a Switch, and then you got to buy this $70 or $80 thing. Like,
no, watch. There's going to be knockoff versions. Like,
well, you still got to buy the Switch, though. Like, this is not equivalent to Lego and Goldilocks in initial outlay.
No, it is similar to Lego Mindstorms.
Lego Mindstorms, but not just Lego. Legos.
But the great thing is, like, you know, it's a toy that's perfect for any age, right? If it's a little, really younger kid, you can, you know, do the cardboard thing. And, you know, if someone wants to play, you know, a Splatoon or something, you can do that. It actually makes it a much more versatile toy. Actually, I think they might not have understood this, but being able to take the game device away from the TV, it's still part of the TV when you need it, makes it super, super flexible in using it in different forms, as we just saw today.
It's pretty rad. I actually got to remember to make sure mine's charged for the flight tomorrow.
Mm-hmm. What do you play on board, like when you're no longer connected to Wi-Fi?
I'll probably play. I'll bring Mario and Mario Kart, or maybe I'll download the newer Zelda DLC and play that. Those are the only three games I have, though. So,
can you imagine they come out with a Mario Kart cardboard cart, like you just sit in it? but it's like you put it together. You're just like,
those real life Mario Karts in where was it? Not Shibuya, in Harajuku, where they're just like riding around with all dressed up like Mario and Bowser and Toad and everything. Like, pretty dope. I'll tell you what, you could network. Ooh, man, that would be cool. You could like sit on the floor and do Mario Kart where you were like actually physically throwing. That's cool.
Oh, yeah. You could put things. Yeah, mm-hmm. It would be great. Like if they could come with a series of low cost accessories, like the like an Amazon button, right? But you just put a simple accelerometer on it, an ID chip.
Well, yeah, I mean, look at what they're doing with the robot game, right? Like right. They just have a resistance thing, and that's what's signaling to the Switch, which is in your face. You know what it's doing, but there's no reason why you couldn't have that exact setup. And you're sitting on the floor, and you're playing Mario Kart.
What if it's meant to sit inside of a box, right? So kids often like to play in big boxes that, like, you know, huge ovens or something comes in. What if it's like you just kid already has a box they want to sit in, pop this thing on the edge, and now that box has become their Mario Kart.
Yeah. Or. And this is a great thing. You could be like, oh, it's your rocket ship. It's like, you know,
totally.
Like whatever
yeah.
you want to do. It's your time machine. And it's really brilliant. The more you look at it, how multifaceted
it's your
it is.
Accounting office, you know, yeah. Boring.
I mean, because the video game wars for the longest time were like spec wars. My chip's faster than yours. I have better graphics. I have this. And really what it came down to is like, how much fun can I have?
Well, yeah, Nintendo tapped out of that game past the 64. Yeah. Like you know, even with GameCube, it was like, no, this is we're not going to play the Butter Battle Book escalation game.
Well, what's fascinating is that, like, you know, with the exception of the Wii, which really worked, I mean, it kind of got to a plateau where it just kind of stopped being. That it just felt very gimmicky where all the non first party games that were rolled out were really just there to take advantage of the idea of the Wii without actually exploiting it. And I think if this works and other people can do it as well and Nintendo isn't too tight fisted about control, I mean you could have a whole host of things that, you know, like events totally surrounded where it's not just maybe a video game, but it's like an event, like a shared experience where everyone logs under their Switch and they can go visit Mars when the next probe lands. That would have been cool.
Man, it's taken a long time to export today's show, which I assume is because we have so much great information in it.
Yeah.
Hard to squeeze.
Good bits.
Plus that new logo.
Uh-oh.
What? What are you uh-oh-ing about?
Oh, like did the logo cause it to slow down?
No, I was trying to say the logo is so awesome that...
No, not
too much good for it to handle.
Oh, careful! You might that. I think is that phrase still trademarked?
What? Too much good?
But too much good stuff. That was AMPM. Remember, they used to run those ads.
I don't remember that.
Too much good stuff was her.
I do. Yeah, that's right. I forgot.
You're like, is there too much of it?
They have AMPMs inside of Dodger Stadium. I found that kind of not disingenuous, but weird that they have AMPMs in the stadium because they really just sell the same stuff that all the other places do.
I want the 7-Elevens that they get in Japan here.
Oh man, wouldn't that be great?
Can I ask you guys a question?
Yeah.
So we, like many of us in the modern era, have many cords in not only our living room, but also our studio. And try as we might to wrangle them, they kind of have their own way of just constantly being a super mess. And we
sure.
recently had some the stuff happened in the living room where we had to like take them out of this little nook that we had hidden them in. So I got this idea in the gig economy that we live in.
Uh-huh.
If I were to look on like TaskRabbit for a professional cord gather installer, like a cord killer. Yeah, a killer of cord. Like, what would I look for? Like, what would even be like a line of work where that would happen beyond like studio engineer?
What about like a home theater installer?
Ooh, maybe that's it.
Something along those lines.
Because that, I feel like that's something that I would never think about, because I always think of like home theater or television installer as being like just for like total Luddites who have no idea like what a plug is.
Right. But they probably are pretty good with the cable management.
That, it's certainly good enough to at least ask.
Are you trying to manage your cables?
So we bought all this cable management stuff. And I was like, man, I would love to just look into like what it would cost to have a professional do this. Because like I've done it a million times and it always falls apart and I kick it by accident. And I know I'm not doing something right. And I'm sure there's some book on like 1,000 ways to properly corral your cords or something that I just haven't read. But I don't know.
What cords do you like for mobile? It really depends on application. Like, are you talking about the cords to your TV? Are you talking about cords?
So imagine just the back of a home theater that has a television, a modem, a router, an Apple TV, a Roku, and a Switch on it, right? Then we have to have a hardwired Ethernet cord come all the way through the apartment into the studio, so our main PC is hardwired in and not on Wi-Fi. And then, of course, there's everything in the studio, which is this gigantic board and all the mic cables and all that kind of stuff.
You can email Robert Heron or Patrick.
Just ask Robert to do it. He'd do it for you.
He does that stuff.
It's not a widely applicable recommendation, but it might work for Justin.
Patrick is also really big on cord management too. Patrick Norton.
Patrick might have some ideas about how to look for somebody.
He used to do one of those segments every year on Techzilla.
Oh, I got some breaking news, you guys. Breaking news. This just in from the DTNS store. It is, in fact, a Born Ready DTNS onesie. Shirt. He said it was onesie. Okay, there's a DTNS tote bag. Check that out. That's new.
Go to the store in style.
But he said that there was a onesie.
You get a tote somewhere around? Everybody does.
If you go to the Born Ready DTNS shirt, there is now a onesie option for 6, 12, 18, and 24 months and newborn.
Oh, look at that.
Yeah.
Fancy.
I mean, you're just lighting money on fire buying it for a newborn, right? Like, that'll last like 2 days.
Yeah, seriously. Unless
you plan on clothing your child in old newspapers and, you know, blankets, you have to buy clothes or.
Oh, sure. Yeah. But you should just buy, you know, the value pack at Walmart, right? Like,
you know, it's one of those things that they're not too pricey, actually.
Oh, really?
Yeah. Like, unless you go for like a designer brand like Juicy or something. So they start charging.
Nice work, Dave bucks. Michael. Getting that in the store. That's one of those things where like Rich Straffolino jokingly is like, hey, is there a Born Ready onesie this morning in Slack to me? I'm like, I don't know. There should be. So I'm like, well, I'll ask Dave. I'm like, Dave, you ever do onesies? He's like, I can totally do a onesie. Give me a day. And then less than a day. Boom. It's up there.
All right. Any final words for the audience?
No. You guys are the best. Thank you. Have a lovely Thursday.
If anyone wants a gold onesie, send us your size. We'll think about it.
All right. And then secretly for the patrons, David says he's going to update the DTNS shirt and hoodie listing to feature the new logo next and make the changes as soon as he gets the mock-ups made. He's doing a hard inventory count on the mugs and the batteries and the mouse pads, and those items will go on a clearance sale soon, so keep an eye out. Thanks, everybody, for listening and supporting the show.
Back to you tomorrow.